Okay. Lemon freshness. Here we go. All right, yeah. Delicious. Whoa, making a fucking mess. Okay. I can figure this out. Take this stupid backpack off. Throw that on top in there and close this door. Hi guys. Oh well. I was gonna turn it off, but if they're gonna play the Rough Riders anthem. Garage door is closed. Fucking right, we did it. It's a good video on the internet somewhere. That's it. It's a good video on the internet somewhere. You guys should see it. It's a good video on the internet somewhere of DMX riding a roller coaster. Or one of those, you know, it's one of those short kind of like fall things, or I don't know, I'm not sure what the nature of the coaster is, but some sort of amusement ride, DMX riding it, that one Dan Reichert showed me, before I left town, which, seems like it's like 6 months ago now or something, I don't know, so, that's my story about DMX on an amusement park, right? You should really, I found it enjoyable. As a fan of DMX, the man, if not always his music, or, and certainly not his film work, with that 4-4. DMX is probably a bad person. At this point, he's been in enough different types of legal trouble that you can look at it and go like, well, he's probably not a good man. Talk is cheap, motherfucker. That's a good point, though. I mean, yes, you're right. Talk is cheap. Go through the car wash. Take us a car wash trip. That's my plan. Gas station is cool. I mean, they're not delivering gas right now. What? No, why am I turning? No. Oh, that's right, the other UB40 song. God. I forgot there was a second one. Thanks, radio. Yeah, okay, yeah. What? New York, New
From the list on the screen.
Wash.
Please select a car wash by pressing.
That's the car wash.
Welcome to our car wash. Add your own finishing touches by joining our convenient towel exchange program. Please insert cash or card. You are now ready to enter the car wash.
Yeah, yeah.
Please proceed by following the directions on a sign ahead. And thank you again for your car wash.
car is in neutral. And here we go. Turn off the fan here. Let's see. It said I should turn off the automatic windshield wipers, but I'm not 100% sure how to do that. Okay, yeah, all right, that's all. Yeah. I have my automatic most of the time, so. They're giving my car a bit of a manual brushing. They're talking to each other about something, these two guys. And no, they're still down. Okay. Oh, here we go. Disappearing into the machine now. Wish me luck. If I don't make it. Tell my girlfriend I love her, okay? Oh God. Oh God. So much soap. Driver's side mirror has been banged out to the side. Manually snap it back if it doesn't get snapped back along the way here. Ugh. Why did it stop? Those things that are supposed to be spinning. I assume they're supposed to be spinning and, well, whatever. Okay, somewhat cleaner car, at least on the outside. Now let's hit the freeway in style. Vents back on, get some air in here. Cool it down. People seem, I was going to say insufferable, but they seem like radio people, which the other part's probably unspoken, you know, don't need to say it. Fleetwood. You're home for Jessica Simpson. Great. You all make believe what you lose to lean. On the Mars on lean, cars on sheen. Your white girl, but black girl, get the fly tick. It's never fine. They ain't on your seat level. Water eyes don't cry. Inhale and breathe regularly. My baby on it. High in the crack of dawn. Body shape bigger. Ain't like Picasso drawing. Oh, kiss out. Winning. Click, kick it. Let's get closer, close then. Get close, we close friends. Don't get choked.
Jamie's a multi-talented bassist.
And you know what? What I respect. Now, but whatever, and I'm full off of here. You get no love, and I thought you knew it. You know how we do it.
Radio edit?
Got a plot, who got, and who got shot? Cause everybody knows that he got the info. Crazy tunes hanging out the window. Cool, I got them bomb ass tapes. The Lynch Mob, Planet of the Apes. I'm down with eight, and what's up? Cam and Solo, they got nuts. When I see you write a sentence,
he wants the bomb. Just like George Clinton.
SKB is down to catch a body, put on knee deep. We'll turn out the party. It gets no love, and I thought you knew it. But you are me.
Like singles, when it comes to like the singles, the A-sides, you know, the hits, this might be my favorite Ice Cube song. When it comes to the hits, my favorite Ice Cube single. It's not the most thought-provoking song in the world, but hey.
Backspin.
So Charlize Theron, A-list celebrity, Academy Award-winning actress. We never see her in any type of controversial story.
Oh, yeah.
But now she has her first one because Tia Mowry, who we know from Sister Sister, of course, also from The Game. They both are fans of SoulCycle, you know, those trendy spin classes that a lot of celebrities like to do. Well, Tia, one time she was in a class with Charlize, and she was like, you know what? I want to introduce myself. I'm just going to have a quick fan moment.
Well, rock the band. HUD creator. How many points do I get for that? Is it? You already asked this. Like what happened around video games while I was gone. I guess, like, you know, everyone's getting ready for Gamescom, so it's been a little slow, but there was that Sierra stuff last night where it looks like Activision is relaunching the Sierra brand. And they got kind of some kind of snowy mountain game thing, trailer thing, tease thing there, which, all right. To me, the funny thing was how many people were like, oh, Sierra's back. That must mean Half-Life 3. What? That, no. What? Sierra was a publisher. That's not even a... They're no... No, no. Why would you jump to that conclusion, you weirdo? No, come on. Have some sense here, man. I think a lot of those people were joking, but still, this is like, ugh. The Half-Life 3 stuff can be so exhausting because people are just like so... I don't know. Yeah. At some point, it's like, who cares? Like, if a company like Valve was making, you know, whatever efforts they're putting into another Half-Life, just seems like the ultimate side project. The ultimate just like, well, here's a fan servicey thing because some people want it. It's not the moneymaker. Unless you make it a free-to-play multiplayer game in which hats drop or scarves or shoes, you know. You can customize your Gordon Freeman with different types of classes. Crowbar skins. And then it doesn't really fit into... It doesn't seem like it fits too neatly into Valve's worldview. The only weird interest point that Valve has that makes sense for something like Half-Life would be like all their VR experiments at some point. So if you're like, oh, well, Half-Life 3 is clearly a VR first experience or something, and you're like, okay, well, yeah, they want to wrap their minds around this weird technology and, you know, come up with something cool, then sure, that would make sense. Yeah, I don't know if there'll be anything too big out of Gamescom. Seems like everything you would announce around this time frame is kind of been announced, at least in terms of new games. I mean, there'll be whatever this Sierra thing is. But I don't know. I look at it as like, you know, this is probably going to be a good spot to reveal another Mortal Kombat character. You know, announcements of that caliber. That's Gamescom to me. Like, hey, we're pushing this game back. Gamescom announcement. We're pushing this game back. Maybe they'll show Shadow of the Beast. Wasn't that last Gamescom that Sony announced that? Or was that something else? That was Gamescom, wasn't it? Anyway. That's the market for it, so... if there's anything to show for Shadow of the Beast, that is. It's hard to... I guess they announced, like, nominees for Gamescom Awards, even though the show hasn't happened yet, which, I don't know, I look at that as a pretty clear sign, like, oh yeah, that's maybe not going to see a lot of big game announcements out of that thing. I don't know, I still would really like to go to Gamescom, just because I've never been to Germany and never been to that show, and it just sounds such a unique, weird thing that, that it might be fun to see it, but you know, maybe next year. It seems like I outlasted Comic-Con as a game show. I've never been to Comic-Con. I've always kind of like steadfastly, like not quite refused to go, but about as close. People are like, hey, you want to go to Comic-Con? I'm like, if you 100% need me there, I will go. But if you're asking me if I want to go to Comic-Con, the answer is fuck no. And then looking at what came out of it this year, like, nah, there's no reason to go. It's not a good place. It's not a great time for game announcements. It's like just smacked in the middle between E3 and Gamescom, both of which are like smarter places to talk about a game unless you've got a real specific comic-focused hook that you want to get in front of the public. it just seems like irrelevant. So I don't know. That just seems like it was never a good fit and has been dwindling year after year. Like, you know, maybe it'll be back in force next year, but looking at it this year, I was like, oh, okay, good. Like, just the number of requests I got from people going like, hey, you want to book a Comic-Con appointment? I'm like, nope, no one was sending out, or very few companies were sending out stuff like that. I guess that's the thing, is, you know, like, the reason those shows became viable places to talk about games is, you know, there would be a collection of the media there, you know? So at some point, video games started showing up, so more gaming media showed up, the more gaming media that were there, the more of an opportunity for companies to show off something to a large collection of the media and get a lot of coverage without having to travel around, you know? It's like, okay, well, if they're all in this one place, then let's book something. It's the same reason why we see some games during GDC, even though GDC is not a product-focused show. It's because publishers can look at GDC and say, like, well, everyone's in town to cover GDC. We can piggyback onto that and say, like, hey, come play Batman. Come play Gauntlet, you know, Warner had Gauntlet there last year, and Batman, I guess. And that's one of the things that, you know, as the kind of landscape of media changes for video games in terms of, you know, where the coverage is focused and, you know, the level of access that the people that are covering the industry have and that sort of stuff, like there's sort of a split, I guess. I remember hearing, it might have been Total Biscuit. It was a prominent YouTube person was saying, like, it was actually, you know, they went to PAX and posted a bunch of videos from PAX and stuff like that, and said actually it was not worth it to do that because there were fewer videos by virtue of spending the entire day covering that show, and that the traffic received by the PAX videos did not increase in a way that offset the lost viewership or whatever it was. So, like, for people that are locked into that sort of model, going and covering any show is a bad idea. And, you know, going out and covering stuff is expensive. Like, you have to fly yourself around in a lot of cases. Not every, you know, like, publishers do have events where they will offer to cover travel and lodging for attending media, which, you know, it is what it is. But by and large, if, you know, like, if you're paying your own way, like, you know, like, if I wanted to go to Gamescom, I got to make a case for it. Like, what's the business reason? What are we going to get out of it? And that sort of stuff. And, you know, like, stuff like that just often doesn't add up for
for the sort of stuff that we do. You know, it's like we go to E3, we're not there like writing up previews of all the games and then revisiting them at Gamescom to write updated previews. Like, that's a 10-year-old mentality, you know. That's not how it works anymore. So the value of a secondary trade show like Gamescom for us, who has E3, you know, if there was no E3, then it'd be like, well, this is the only one, so let's go, you know, then you gotta do it. But for us, where it's, you know, here are incremental updates to games that we've already kind of talked about, and we're not really in the business of constantly updating previews every time they breathe one new tidbit of information. You know, we get to safely skip Gamescom without really losing out on anything other than, you know, being out there and, you know, the conversations, the kind of industry side, like, okay, well, we're going to meet people and be out there and mix it up and, you know, like that sort of stuff, the handshaking end of things, you know? Which has value, certainly, but, you know, at some point, flying a crew to Germany to do that is maybe not the best way to spend money. And then Tokyo's an even tougher sell in a lot of ways, because you know, there are even fewer games there these days that seem relevant to the Western market, or, you know, whatever it is. It's just, you know, there's the way phone stuff blew up over there. Like, you know, TGS is a very different thing. TGS is a great show to go to if you want to cover Sony and this whatever Microsoft comes up with just to counteract whatever Sony's announcing. It's like Microsoft's like, oh, well, you know, again, it's one of those things where, like, oh, there's a bunch of press here, we should announce something. I don't even know if Microsoft did that last year. Did they have anything at TGS? Where they said, like, hey, that was where they announced, like, D4, and, like, hey, we're working with Japanese developers. It was that thing, right? Hey, we care. Honest. I mean, not enough to put the console out here, but you look. No one was going to buy the console here anyway. We'll put it out someday. I don't know. It's a weird business. It's only getting weirder. You know. In some ways, I really like the way things have changed. You know, it's like, it used to be that the expectation was that you would be everywhere, you know? It's like, well, we gotta be everywhere, we gotta cover everything, otherwise what are we doing? It's like that, you know, that's an expensive way to, you know, it's a good way to blow through a lot of money without getting a lot of return in some cases, depending on the trip. So, in a lot of ways, I'm glad the expectations of, you know, from the audience have changed. Like, people don't want that type of preview coverage the same way they used to, you know? Or if they do, you know, they get it directly from the publisher because it's just like, here's screenshots of a level. I don't know. But at the same time, with more and more publishers taking over, like, that role in a way of, like, you know, hey, we're going to be doing the preview stuff ourselves, instead of going and getting on the cover of a magazine or going and giving it exclusively to a website. It's just one of those things that makes the website business smaller. Which, you know, depending on how you're structured, it is either totally okay and probably good, or, like, a moment that forces you to rethink a lot of stuff, I guess. I don't know. you know, people in my position, or people out there that are, you know, just covering games, you know, whether they're doing it as a one-person operation, freelancing, you know, whatever it is, you know, it's like they can only exist as long as there are people out there who are interested in independent takes on those products, you know, if they want a that type of coverage, you know. We live in a world where, you know, corporations have Twitter accounts and they can spit out their own trailers for movies and blah, 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 and, you know, their own behind-the-scenes featurettes, behind-the-scenes of the sci-fi thriller coming this summer, and, you know, and the same thing applies to games, too. So, you know, I think that there are plenty of people out there, like, you know, I don't need, you know, I value it in the sense that, like, I understand why it's important, but at the same time, I don't necessarily need independent coverage of movies, because I don't value movies enough to want to seek out reviews of them, or you know, a ton of, you know, a well-reasoned critical discussion of movies is not necessarily something that interests me. I'm interested in that for video games, because I care a lot about video games, and I always have. But, you know, there are plenty of people out there that don't value video games that way. And for those sorts of people that are just, you know, it's like, you look at it and go like, oh, well, maybe they're just playing mobile games, or maybe they're just playing just Call of Duty and Battlefield and Madden, or, you know, like whatever the big mainstream games are. That type of person doesn't need a website. They don't need a review, you know? Like, I kind of put the Call of Duty player, like, the person who primarily plays Call of Duty, kind of in the same boat as, like, the person who primarily plays the Kim Kardashian game. Like, the, you know, if they're playing just multiplayer Call of Duty. In terms of, like, the just how much information they need. I mean, it's like, do you need an independent source for information? Or do you just need to know, like, do you just need to see the trailer for the new Call of Duty and go, like, oh, it's out in November, weird. You know, it's only once you get fed up with Call of Duty and start looking for something else that you have to turn to your friends and that sort of stuff. Is, you know, for people like that that have a very narrow range, that's fine. They don't need me to tell them that Battlefield is situations. You know, whether you're going to go really, really news-focused, and then at that point, whether that news is just like, well, here's the stuff that the company's announced, or here's the stuff that we are digging around to find. You know, whether you're kind of going the investigative route or not, you know, that's a split there, too. It's interesting, though. Like, it's still, you know, that all really excites me, though, in a lot of ways, because, you know, I feel like I've said it plenty of times at this point, but it's like this stuff needed to change. It needs to change. It has to continue changing and evolving to stay relevant, to stay interesting, to, you know, to stay afloat. You know, if it was just the same old song and dance with just like, oh, here's another exclusive preview, and, you know, like that, you can't do that. I wonder what it'll look like in 5 years, you know? Because right now we live in a world where Microsoft has employed people who have, you know, game journalist backgrounds to write, to, you know, basically populate a site with information about their games. And, you know, they've written features that are just straight up like the sort of shit that you make fun of. Just like, 7 reasons why you should be excited about this upcoming game. You're like, what? Like, that's... Even the people with direct access to the product and the people behind it in a promotional capacity are still, like, going like, I don't know, let's do, like, a top 10 list. Like, is that... We could just do a top 10 list? People like those, right? Like, to me, that's fucking hilarious. I think the other thing you run into that kind of plagues, the kind of game journalism as it exists and as it has existed, is kind of the games that are so singular, that require such a singular focus, that, you know, you either make the decision to cover that one game or type of game, or don't cover it ever, you know, except in a very kind of like primer like capacity, you know? And this is something that, like, when MMOs hit the scene, I don't think anyone realized quite what it would do, but, you know, it was one of those things that kind of around, you know, as World of Warcraft got bigger and bigger and, you know, became such a huge, huge, huge thing, you started to see it where, like, you know, I think that was, you know, it was where you started seeing people going, like, well, we're launching a site devoted to covering these sorts of games, or here's our World of Warcraft site. And, you know, that's not to say that there hadn't been, you know, game-specific sites before. I mean, you know, GameSpy had its Planet Network and stuff, you know, so you could have Planet Tony Hawk. Stomped existed, you know, like, but it was one of those things, it became one of those things where, like, you know, it's hard to cover it in a meaningful way unless you stick with it to an extreme that is unreasonable. If you're somewhere where you're kind of, you know, you need to kind of be that generalist, you need to be able to cover multiple things and stuff, you know, it's hard to devote someone to a beat that is, you know, one game, even if that game is supremely popular. And with MMOs, you know, it made some sense, because you're like, well, you know, this is a huge, huge, huge thing, and then, but I think the things that caught everyone slipping it was like Minecraft, and then DayZ, kind of following off of that, like that style of survival game. And the MOBA scene, the kind of competitive MOBA scene. It's not to say that there's no one out there covering those things appropriately, but it's one of those things where, you know, it's a... Like, Minecraft was a demographically challenging thing in some ways when you look at kind of the people that are typically covering... It's like, oh, well, Minecraft is a game that probably makes a lot more... kind of building blocks and say it's a kid's game, but it's, you know, its appeal kind of hit younger in a way that, like, you know, you don't anticipate, you know, you don't tend to think of the PC as like the platform for kids games, and, you know, there was just a lot of stuff that came together in some really crazy ways. And then you have, you know, I think that you see some people graduating from Minecraft up through, you know, Terraria, whatever, they end up into DayZ or Rust or that sort of stuff. And, you know, mechanically, there's not that much to cover. But it's another segment of people that are so focused on one thing that they only want to know, what are the patch notes? What are the rumors about the future of this game? Which, you know, is that stuff is served by an official blog. You'll see what Notch is saying. You'll see what Gary Newman has to say about Gary's mod and whatever else he's working on. And message boards from people where they all claim to know what the development path is. Like, I heard that the next Minecraft is gonna have fucking ghosts, man. I don't know. And those sorts of people don't need a website that covers games at large. So, you know, if you're maintaining an outlet, or, you know, whether it's you as a freelancer, or, you know, like a website like ours, or whatever it is, at some point, you know, it's like, well, we could devote ourselves to covering Minecraft in a real way for those people, and, you know, maybe some of them would care, but not enough, probably not enough of them to make up for what we would lose by not covering other stuff. Or we could write off this gigantic segment of people that are playing video games and are in some ways the future of video games. Because they're not really looking to, you know, websites, to journalists to kind of tell them about the stuff that they're into. You know, it again becomes like a word of mouth situation and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, those are the problems that face, I think, you know, or some of the problems that kind of face this line of work in some ways is, you know, everyone was kind of slow to adapt to that stuff. You know, the esports stuff, everyone's kind of, I feel like it's, over the last year, you've seen people try to be a little more accommodating to the esports stuff. And, you know, like, I'm interested in that stuff, like, academically, I guess, but, like, I don't care about any of those games. And we wouldn't do any of that stuff if Brad didn't somehow get sucked into Dota. You know, he has a personal interest in it and thus has something to say about it, so he says it, you know. And I feel like there's been, like, some bandwagon-y kind of disingenuous coverage of those sorts of games from some other outlets out there, and it's been kind of interesting to see. Because it just looks like a man in a suit walking downstairs and go, how come we don't have anything on this League of Legends? Which is like, you know, the same guy in a suit who walked downstairs 8 months before that and said, like, why aren't you covering any of these iPhone games? You know? And the answer is because the existing audience doesn't care about it, and you run the risk of alienating them at the, you know, by attempting to reach out and grab onto this other audience that may not actually exist. That's why our iPhone coverage and phone coverage has been so limited, because, you know, it's like we're covering the stuff that we're interested in as people who like video games. You know, we're not out there chasing trends going like, well, this iPhone game is super huge. Except in cases where it's, like, interesting and kind of funny. Like, you know, I ended up playing that Kim Kardashian game a bunch. And Patrick did, too. I'm glad that he wrote stuff about it, because I was thinking about, like, writing something at one point. If only to just say, like, well, I'm playing this stupid thing. I should at least write something. I stopped. I don't know. Like, I... Because that's just one of those things that's just, like, fascinating on a few different levels, so you can kind of just approach it. But, you know, but not in a, like, hey, man, we've got tips for the latest Kim Kardashian game tips. Like, you're trying to attract that audience. At that point, it's more like, hey, you may have heard of this thing. Here's what it is. Let's make it make sense for people who play games. But, you know, I feel like our phone coverage has been, like, I like it because it's been focused on, like, hey, these are games you should care about. We know that there are a lot of people out there telling you to care about iPhone games, and a lot of it is total bullshit. But here's what you should care about. And it's not, like, BioShock for tablets. Like, what? It's like, fucking whatever. Like, that seems like something that no one needs to know about. Because who's out there going like, well, I really loved BioShock, and, you know, like, it's safe to assume, with a site like ours and the way we cover games, like, it's relatively safe to assume that the audience has made up their mind already if they want to play BioShock and they have played it. And if they were to play it, you know, the people that come to our site are quality-minded enough to where they would know that if they were to play BioShock, they would have a better device to play it on than a tablet. So other than just, like, that kind of almost academic thing of just, like, well, how does it control? Like, I'm just kind of curious for me, like, how does this thing translate? You look at it and go, like, oh, okay, all right, well, good on him, I guess. Or bad on him, I guess. You know, I don't know. I haven't seen it, but... At some point, I just like mixing it up. Cover stuff that people wouldn't necessarily expect us to cover, and try to look around and... and all that. But, you know. Also kind of point people at stuff that they might have missed. Like, hey, you know, this... There are so many just small-ass games coming out every fucking day now. You know, it's impossible to wade through them all. And you know, so if we can find some of that stuff and expose people to it and go, like, hey, this might be something that you might want to actually play. Or, you know, alternately, show people some stuff and go, like, hey, you know, you might not want to play this. Or some people are definitely going to want to play this, and other people are definitely not. You know, it's... I think there's some amount of service in that. I don't know. When I think about the way that I play games on a tablet, which is to say sparingly and for short bursts, the idea of a game like Bioshock, a game the size of Bioshock, the length of Bioshock, and like that... That's just the exact opposite of what I'm looking for on those sorts of devices, you know? Alright, I'm at the office. Time to get back in the fucking saddle and make some shit happen. Hope you guys have a good Friday. And I'll see you later.